But Monty Jones, Game Theory, HBO, Right Time is the podcast on ESPN. He's joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. But Monty, what's up, man?
Good, man. How about you?
Well, first off, we haven't chatted since the news came out that Game Theory's got another season coming out. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been coming to your job more than you have.
Wow.
I mean, I have.
Hey, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to use the old Jim Romeism. When you work at a company for 13 years, I take a lot of vacation because I get a lot of vacation.
Yeah. All the same. I've been holding it down for the people when you could not.
20th wedding anniversary, spring breaks, all that fun stuff, man. I've been on the road. If I'm Matt Rhule and David Tepper calls me to say, hey, there's this front office sports story coming out that we're eyeing Sean Payton. There's nothing true to this. If I'm Matt Rhule, I tell David Tepper going, man, I don't blame you going for Sean Payton over me at this point. Pay me my money. I'll go to college. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, and what else could I do about it at this point? It ain't like you're about to fire him now and bring him in for September,
no,
right? Okay,
no.
You're eyeing Sean Payton. I'm sure he's not alone in eyeing Sean Payton. This has nothing to do with my life right now.
I feel like this is billionaires doing billionaires things, and they have all the money, and they want to get the shiny object, because I think this is a Jerry Jones, David Tepper, I'm going to get what I want before you do. It's such rich person energy, man.
Yeah, and Tepper's not getting Payton if Jerry wants him. Like, let's go ahead and get that out the way right now. The best chance David Tepper has of getting Sean Payton is the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl.
Plus, the history of that division with the New Orleans Saints, what does David Tepper think that the Saints are going to do? They're going to release him to go there? There's no compensation package around. Sean Payton was a master troll. The dude drafted somebody once just so that the Panthers could not sign him to a undrafted free agent contract. That's the level of petty between the two. Come on now.
Hey, man. I mean, when you got as much money as that dude does, you think you can make anything
happen.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a valid point. But Monty Jones, Game Theory, HBO, Right Time is the podcast on ESPN. So, the process. What did the process get us in Philadelphia, Bomani?
Man, I got to say this. As much as I love ridiculing the process, to me it's now time to ridicule Daryl Morey for the role that he has in this. Like, the thing I always get on Daryl Morey about is he doesn't get the people stuff. Mm-hmm. And somehow he did not realize when they left the arena after Game 7 against Atlanta last year, we have to trade Ben Simmons before training camp. Like, that's our only play here, except Morey has to win every trade, right? Mm-hmm. Pride won't allow him to make a trade where people look at it and they're like, ooh, I don't know. This could go either way. No, he had to get a lopsided victory in this, and he thought he had one because he got James Harden. And to be fair, getting a James Harden who plays in exchange for a Ben Simmons who doesn't is a win, at least on its face, mm-hmm. except now they're stuck with James Harden.
Yeah, because he's probably going to opt into what's left of his contract. The hope is maybe he actually gets in shape this offseason as opposed to what we saw last. I mean, what is James Harden today if he's not going to transform himself like we've seen his peers do at this point in his career?
Well, I'm not so sure that he's out of shape as much as he's cooked. Like, if you look at his, like, if you look at his body physically, he looks like he's in shape. Like, he is a naturally heavy for his size dude. But you look at him, man, like, he seems to be muscular and all of that stuff. I just don't think he's got it anymore.
Okay, let me put it this way. Do you think James Harden has – we all know people. Shout out to Russ Henry, our friend. Russ is the type of guy who could live the life that he lived for a very long time, eating fast food, drinking beer, whatever.
Yes.
Dude never put on weight. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You're like that, honestly. You could eat whatever you want. It doesn't freaking matter. Me, I have a beer, and I'm you know, extremely fat again. Regardless – you look at what LeBron James has done over the course of his career. We always see the headlines. Oh, he's put $1 million into his body. You look at what other – Chris Paul is another example of this. What's Chris Paul's diet right now? Isn't it something ridiculous?
Yeah, he's also vegan thing.
Because they know that the body is not going to hold up over time. James Harden still acts like a guy who can live that life and not have it affect him. You see what I'm getting at?
Acts like is the key.
Okay.
Now, if you want to ask a question about whether or not James Harden could still go hard into the night like he used to, now we're talking about something different.
Okay.
Like, I think like physically in shape, he's probably got that part under control.
Okay.
Kicking it into the wee hours of the night, which most of us can't do like that far past 30. Is he still doing that? Now, that's where I think it gets more interesting.
Yeah, although I will say that I probably got back up to college levels on tolerance thanks to the pandemic. I wasn't doing anything else, right?
I can see it.
So, here's the process. Nine seasons since the process began. In the nine seasons before this started, the Sixers had a .462 winning percentage in the regular season. They made the playoffs five times and won one playoff series. In the nine seasons since the process began, the Sixers have had a .448 winning percentage. Not great. Made the playoffs five times, and they've won four playoff series. Of course, the matter is how far they've gotten and just what you have to show for it. It goes. I get what you're saying about Daryl Morey, but this is something that's been going on for quite some time. And I blame the memes around the process for people being obsessed with it more than anything else.
Yeah, well, the obsession around it is a result of the fans in Philadelphia, to be honest, because they needed something to make them feel good about the embarrassment that Sam Hinkie was engaging in. But he's been gone so long now is why I'm just kind of like, okay, I guess. Now, the thing to me about the process, at least as it was run and what they were trying to do, it accomplished what they wanted, which was to get two superstar caliber players, right? The thing was basically done after 2016. They got Embiid in 14, and then they got Simmons in 16. To me, they could have shut that whole thing down after 14. Like, Embiid was the thing that mattered. Embiid was the thing that gave them a chance at winning a championship. Like, to me, it all really just comes back to the fact that they got Embiid. None of the stuff that happened after wound up being necessary, and the truth is, you look at it, they didn't get that much out of it after they got Embiid.
Bomani Jones, Game Theory, HBO, Right Time is a podcast on ESPN. All right, let's get to my petty king. I have nothing but respect for my guy, Jimmy Butler, who is driven by resentment like nobody else, and I respect that out of Jimmy Butler. Here he is walking to the locker room after they beat the 76ers.
Tobias Harris over me?
So he's talking about Tobias Harris, obviously the decision that were made in Philadelphia. Now, I do make the point that Jimmy Butler in Miami is probably a better fit than anywhere else that could be, because you want to talk about process. This is where like my Miami Heat fandom comes through. There is a way. I think the reason why nobody buys the Heat is because there's nobody that can quote unquote take over, right? We're so obsessed with who can take over. We see Giannis do it. We see Jason Tatum do it. Hell, we saw Al Horford do it the other day. That's not the Heat, and yet here they are moving on in the playoffs.
Well, I think Jimmy Butler is a guy that can take over, though. I think we saw that in the bubble 2 years ago. Like, if it comes to it, he could be that dude. Now, the thing that's interesting to me with Jimmy as it relates to Philadelphia is, like, yes, he's in a perfect fit in terms of franchise.
He is.
But as far as cities go, he was perfect for Philadelphia. Like, all the stuff that you talk about is Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Now, the question that's been raised, and I think it's a good one, they didn't pick Tobias Harris over him as much as they picked Al Horford over him, right? Or you can make the argument they picked Ben Simmons over him, which, again, which proved to be a bad idea if they ultimately did it. But if they had Jimmy move on in large part because they knew that Simmons couldn't work off the ball in late-game situations and he wouldn't tolerate it, then they kept the wrong dude. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but I forget the gentleman who wrote a book on the process. He ran through a thread about that whole thing, and a point that he made was that Jimmy's agent told them, if you do what you're doing, you're just ultimately going to put Ben Simmons in a bad situation, and you're going to wind up having to trade him.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And they got the same amount of production from James Harden in the second half than they would have out of Ben Simmons.
That was the funny part.
Pretty ironic. Pretty ironic. But Monty Jones, Right Time is the podcast, HBO Game Theory here on the OG. He's on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. So I had the realization today that as we're theoretically out of the pandemic and there's more live shows happening right now, and I know this because we're giving away concert tickets all the time, there is an amazing amount of new music that I cannot keep up with right now. Every Friday, it's like, oh, wait a minute, they put out an album? Oh, wait, they put out an album too? What? Kendrick Lamar too? There's too much, man. I can't keep up.
Yeah, it's like I woke up today and found out that he put out the album. I'm like, wow, I guess I'll get around to listening to it sometime in the next 3 weeks. All right, like I like to wait till everybody else gets finished. I don't want to be part of the day one conversation on a record ever again.
But that wasn't how you used to be, right? This comes with old age, right?
Yeah. Well, I was always trying to get on it first, but it was more fun to do that before everybody was already talking about it and declaring these things instant classics.
The other problem that I have is that I've been too caught up in revisiting old things that
yes.
I have to make that decision. It's like, do I want to invest in something new, or do I want to kind of go through the vinyl stack that I've acquired over time or revisit things and whatnot? Because you and I had this conversation offline, but I know you had tweeted about Pink Floyd, right? And I'm actually considering that Roger Waters show that's coming through here soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just to take Caleb, because Caleb likes Pink Floyd, so might as well have him go see it. But did you go back and listen to Animals?
Yeah, I did. I did it that day. And again, it's a really good book report.
It is a great interpretation of Animal Farm, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I say. It's just a really good book report. Like, that's my only thing about it is, like, if you just want to sit there and listen to interesting, funny sounds, okay, I can see how that might be your bag. But it's just a really good, it's a really interesting book report.
Now, look, I'm not saying that Animals is in, it would probably be number five if I was doing a top five. It might not even be in the top five, honestly. I mean, to me, it's Wish You Were Here, followed by Dark Side of the Moon. And then we probably go Echoes, followed by The Wall. And then at that point, we can get into the various things. But you and I are in agreement when it comes to Wish You Were Here.
Yes.
Okay. I can listen to that. I can listen to that record on a loop. Doesn't matter. But my argument about Animals is, well, if you get away from the songwriting, which really is just Animal Farm, and you listen to the, there's a complexity to it that upon further listening comes out, I guess. And I don't know. There are certain things in the state of North Carolina that are legal now that might actually enhance mm-hmm. that experience too. I'm just saying.
Well, first of all, I just like don't find complexity intrinsically valuable. But let's back up. Y'all got to the 21st century down there.
Yeah, we got that Delta 8 now.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I see that's everywhere, man. Delta 8 is the most hilarious thing to ever come about, right? Hey. It is our bun has no seeds for weed.
Shout out to the Burnt Pot at Modern Apotheca. They sponsor some of our segments. And they're a hemp lounge. You can get teas and various other infused things with the various Delta 7s, 8s, or whatever that exist right now.
And they're advertising on the Capital Broadcasting Company.
Hell,
that's what's
yes.
up.
Bomani, we're just waiting for the gambling stuff to pass through.
Wow.
Come on now.
Wow. All the way from 2009.
Yes, it is. The business changes, man. So I'm with you, though, on complexity for complexity's sake. I can see why that might be a turnoff for certain things. I was just intrigued by that particular angle with you in having revisited Animals, but it still sticks with you.
It's just. It's all right. I mean, I had my Animals run, right? Like when it's new and you've gone through all the other Pink Floyd records that everybody tells you about, you're like, oh, I stumbled across this one that, you know, okay. And then you stop and realize like it always is interesting to me when I listen to people talk about Dark Side of the Moon, where everybody wants to try to prove how cool they are and be like, oh no, it's, you know, there's four other Pink Floyd albums better. No, they not.
No, there's not. No, there's not. No,
what are you talking
not.
About? That's ridiculous.
No, I'm with you on that. People try too hard with the Floyd. They're like, oh no, I'm really into this stuff. I'm sorry, but no, Dark Side of the Moon is, it's not my personal favorite, but it's clearly number two. Like, come on, you can't devalue that at all. I think Metal is the other album that people try too hard on, but I do love that album.
Yeah, Metal's probably my three or four. Okay. Like, I don't think people try too hard on Metal as much as it's a fun one to say is your number one if you want to be contrarian, right? Like, saying that's your number one, I feel a lot better about than Damn Animals, right? Like, at least Metal has Fearless and One of These Days and, you know, Saint-Tropez.
It's got
some highlights.
Saint-Tropez is a skippable one for me. I just flip it over and put it on Echoes anyway. So
I can see that.
That's where I immediately go to. But Monty Jones, Right Time is a podcast, Game Theory, HBO. Again, congrats on another season. Thanks for helping Giglio out when I'm not here. He needs it.
Oh, man, no problem. And when Giglio comes back, I'll thank him for helping you all the other days.
All right, well, you're going to help me out next week on A Brief History of Triangle Sports. We'll talk later, man.
All right, man, be good.